Not true intelligence, but dumb mimicry. The alien had gone dark. It glided through the waters between Leviathan and its replicant, silent, cold, and dark. Suddenly, its flank lit up, brilliant red, shifting to orange and then green. The colors must mean something to it, but they were nothing but empty displays to Leviathan. Then pictures began to form. Leviathan saw itself and its replicant displayed, with the alien between them. Now the imagery showed an arm growing out of the alien's curving hide, thin and undulating, like the tentacles of the filmy beast Leviathan once encountered in the chill waters high above. "It's trying to speak to us," the replicant signaled. Leviathan flashed a swatch of yellow to show it agreed. In the alien's imagery, the thin, flexible arm reached out from its own hide and touched Leviathan's. There it remained, while pulses of color raced along the arm, running from Leviathan to the alien. "It wants to feed on us," the replicant signed, in agitated, hot white. Leviathan watched, fascinated and horrified, as the alien clearly showed that it wanted to attach a feeding arm to its hide and devour some of Leviathan's flesh. "No!" blazed the replicant. Leviathan, too, felt the instinctive fear and revulsion. A part of its mind wondered why the alien seemed to be asking permission to feed off its flesh. "Because it is so small and weak?" Leviathan asked itself. The alien showed no teeth, no mouth parts at all. Its hide was smooth and hard. And then, a small, mouth-like opening appeared in that hard, smooth hide, and a feeding arm began to emerge from it, snaking toward Leviathan. Without another thought, Leviathan and its replicant both dived down toward the warmer, safer waters, where the kin dwelled in all their numbers.
"They're going away," Corvus yelped.
"Diving deeper," said Dorn.
"Your probe scared them, Andy," Deirdre said, feeling almost heartbroken with disappointment. "We were so close."
Jaeger simply shook his head and asked,
"So what do we do now?"
Dorn replied,
"Release the data capsule, and then go down after them."
"Deeper?"
"Deeper."
"How far down can we go?"
Corvus asked.
"The ship's designed for 1,000 clicks,
Jaeger replied.
"Deeper than that, and the pressure could become a problem."
"A problem?" asked Deirdre.
"He means it could crush us," Corvus said.
Deirdre looked at Jaeger and saw that that was exactly what he meant.
Dorn's hands were already playing across his controls.
"Data capsule released," he announced. "Following those Leviathans now."
Deirdre glanced at Andy, who was muttering unhappily as he reeled his DBS probe back into the hull. Her chest ached, and she wondered how deep they could go before the pressure began to really hurt.
Grant Archer's office. Catherine Westfall swept into the office without even a tap on the door. Red Devlin was hiding in the lavatory, and Archer was on his feet at the desk that held the phone console. He put down the handset and made a tight little bow to Mrs. Westfall. "What have you to say for yourself?" she demanded. Instead of the apprehension he'd felt only moments earlier, Archer barely suppressed a smile as he replied, "About what?" Westfall blazed. "About the failure of the vessel you sent into the ocean. About the death of 4 volunteers aboard that vessel. About your criminal indifference to the danger you exposed them to." He let the smile show as he gestured to one of the armchairs. "Let's talk this over calmly, shall we? Four deaths, Westfall said as she sat down on the edge of the chair. Four murders. Sitting on the chair facing her, Archer said, I just received a call from the mission control chief. The data capsule has shown up. It was a half hour late, but it's in orbit around Jupiter now. Westfall's mouth opened, but no words came out of it. She clamped it shut so tight that Archer heard the click of her teeth. Four murders, Archer said coldly. The question is, who tried to murder whom? The capsule arrived in orbit, she asked. That means that, Archer said, that means that they're not dead. Something delayed the launch of the capsule, that's all. They could still be in trouble. Does the capsule say what's happening down there? Dr. Johansson and his people are looking at the data, Archer said. He'll phone me with their preliminary findings in a few minutes. I see. If anything's gone wrong with the mission, if the crew is in any kind of difficulty, Johansson will call me immediately, of course. Of course, Westfall said in her little girl whisper. Almost casually, Archer asked, Why did you assume they had died? Why did you assume the worst? Westfall blinked several times before replying. When they failed to launch their data capsule on time, naturally I thought you thought they were dead. Her chin went up a notch. Dead? Yes, that's right. Sorry to disappoint you. What do you mean by that? Westfall snapped. Archer turned toward the closed door of the lavatory. Red, he called. Come on out here. For a moment, nothing happened. Archer said to himself he couldn't have gotten out of the lab. There's only the one door to the room. Slowly, the door slid back, and Rodney Devlin stepped hesitantly into the office. Archer noticed that Red had cleaned himself up a bit. His spiky hair was brushed relatively smooth. His white outfit looked neater, if not cleaner. But the expression on his face was clearly uneasy, apprehensive. Westfall stiffened for a moment, but she recovered enough to ask, What's he got to do with anything? He's the one who got the nanomachines for you, said Archer. With some of her old haughtiness, Westfall replied, I don't know what you're talking about. Nanomachines, Archer repeated. Gobblers. Murder weapons. Fixing Devlin with a steely gaze, Westfall said, I don't know what this criminal may have told you, but he's a born liar. Everyone knows that. Devlin pointed a finger at her as he said, You told me you'd chuck me in jail if I didn't get a sample of gobblers for you, which you wanted to feed to Deirdre Ambrose at the launch party just before she left with the others on the mission, Archer said to Westfall. I did no such thing. I can get Franklin Torrey to testify that he gave Devlin a sample of nanomachines. What of it? That doesn't prove that I asked him to do it, Westfall countered. This man is a known procurer, a smuggler, a thief and a liar. No one in his right mind would take his word over mine. That's right, Devlin said, clenching his hands in front of himself. Nobody would take my word against yours. I knew that. That's why I did what I did. You obtained gobblers and fed them to Miss Ambrose at the party, Westfall said to Devlin. I got nanos, all right, Devlin said. But I fed them to you, not her. Westfall's face went white. You've got those nanos in you right now, lady. You drank them down at the party. She stared at him wide-eyed. You? Suddenly, Westfall launched herself at Devlin, screeching wildly, her clawed fingers seeking his face, his eyes. The Red Devil threw his arms up to defend himself, and Archer, startled by her fury, jumped out of his chair and wrapped his arms around her middle and dragged her away from Red. I'll kill you, she screamed. I'll kill you. Archer pushed her down onto one of the recliners. Westfall fell back onto it, her chest heaving, her face contorted wildly. Suddenly she burst into racking sobs. You've killed me, she blubbered in her high, thin voice. You've murdered me.
Faraday. Your medical readouts are all within acceptable limits, Doran said, without taking his eyes from the data screens of its console. How do you feel? Any problems? The cyborg was still standing at his post before the ship's controls, his feet locked into the deck loops that kept him from drifting in the perfluorocarbon liquid. Jaeger stood behind